Welcome to episode 11 of the SWNZ podcast, the podcast for New Zealand Star Wars fans. My name is Matt.
And my name is Christy.
Today we're going to run through a list of recent news announcements that have come across our desk in the last week, some Star Wars gaming updates, and have a bit of a chat about recent local store reports. First up in news, we have to pay our respects to Stan Lee, who passed away on the 12th of November during the week at the age of 95. Stan Lee was famous for his involvement in the Marvel comic universe and Marvel superhero universe, very well known and a very popular figure in terms of his fan involvement and visibility. But of course, in the very early days of the Star Wars franchise, he had a role in bringing Star Wars comics and Star Wars comic movie adaptations to a large range of Star Wars fans. And I distinctly remember the front page of every single Star Wars comic that I read as a child, starting off with the caption, Stan Lee presents Star Wars. So he's had a very significant role in terms of Star Wars and Star Wars history for many of us.
Some years ago, we had the pleasure of meeting Stan Lee in person at a Dragon Con convention, and it was just neat to be able to meet someone that's had an impact in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, he's known considerably more for his creation of superheroes and his bringing of superheroes to life in comic books and more recently in movies, but it is absolutely important to remember and acknowledge that he played a role in the early Star Wars franchise. And there's a bit of an interesting story behind that, because as I understand it, he was a little bit skeptical in the first instance about the transition of Star Wars from movies to comics, but he was swayed by others involved in the project or the potential project at that time by the involvement of Alec Guinness in the Star Wars movie, and he thought that gave it sort of a depth that meant it would make for a good transition to the comic fantasy world.
Stan Lee was also somebody that stayed very involved with the fans. He attended conventions well into his late years and was always really involved with fans and the fandom, doing fun things that like the cameos in the Marvel films that obviously fans really enjoyed. So, of course, it's very sad to see someone pass away that was just so celebrated and really enjoyed being part of that universe.
Indeed. Another Star Wars news though, StarWars.com's actually acknowledged this, I thought it was a little bit interesting, but it is the 40th anniversary of the Star Wars Holiday Special. Now, Star Wars Holiday Special is of course a little bit infamous because it is a bit of a challenge to watch all your way through. It came out in 1978 and involves cameos from most of the heroes for the first Star Wars movie, because that was the only one that had come out at the time. But it does have long stretches of stuff that feels not particularly strongly related to Star Wars and spoken in the language of the Wookiees, so not even English, without subtitles, and you just need to sit through it and interpret that. But strangely, perhaps I do actually have some fond memories of this. I remember when it broadcast on New Zealand television in 1978, and although many aspects of it were somewhat bewildering at the time and didn't necessarily see the connection, there was a point in time where people who had seen Star Wars and fallen in love with Star Wars were obviously craving anything Star Wars related. We saw Star Wars on the Muppet Show, Star Wars on the Donny and Marie Osmond show back in that era, and that was a big deal. So my recollections of the Star Wars Holiday Special were seeing Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, Chewbacca, and the droids on the screen again, and seeing actual stormtroopers and Imperial naval officers on the screen, and those are the visuals that have stuck with me since that time. But of course, the big deal about one of the big deals about the Star Wars Holiday Special is that it introduced the character Boba Fett. But before the movie The Empire Strikes Back came out, Boba Fett was introduced in a 10-minute animated segment that was blended into the live action of this series. And StarWars.com have just published a interview with the animator John Silvestri, who was actually responsible for the creation of that animated sequence within the Star Wars Holiday Special, and in addition to that, for the creation of the representation of Boba Fett. It's quite an interesting interview. So the story behind that is that John Silvestri was working for a small animation studio in Toronto, Canada, in 1978, this animation studio called Nelvana Limited, that was tasked with creating a 10-minute sequence to be incorporated into the television program. The sequence involved an adventure where Han Solo, Chewbacca, Luke Skywalker, and their companions are on search for a mystical talisman. They run into trouble when they encounter Boba Fett, who at first pretends to be an ally but is later revealed to be an agent of Darth Vader. John Silvestri says, Lucas had requested that Nelvana design the show in the style of French artist Jean Moebius Gerard. So for Boba Fett specifically, they had Moebius' designs along with a black and white home movie of the prototype Boba Fett armor to work from. And that was it. And this kind of explains, and they go into it a little bit more detail, why Boba Fett had such an interesting color palette to his armor. because they were working from black and whites of the prototype. The prototype wasn't even coloured in the same way that it ended up in the movie, the prototype armour. But they had to interpret the colour scheme in the way they thought best. So they used an array of pastel colours to make him stand out from the contrasty, bolder primary colours of the background. And we get a Boba Fett made from pale pastel colours. That's a little bit different from the way he ended up in the screen. But people generally acknowledge that the animated sequence within the Star Wars Holiday Special is quite fun, and it is certainly interesting that Boba Fett was introduced in that way before the release of the Empire Strikes Back movie. And the coverage that StarWars.com have published in the last few days on this topic is an interesting read. John Silvestri, the animator responsible for all of that, is still actually working in animation in Nelvana, the studio, even though John Silvestri is not working directly with them, went on to create the Droids and Ewoks animated series in the mid-80s. So their role in Star Wars in that holiday special gave them a grounding that let them continue to work in the franchise.
We've watched the holiday special a number of times, mostly just to be familiar with it, and then of course sharing that with our daughter. But of course, as others have pointed out, the animated segments are worth checking out even if you don't really want to sit through most of the rest of it. You can find some versions of the holiday special in edited or unedited forms on YouTube, so you can Google around and check it out for yourself.
Yeah, there are a couple of edits out there. They're obviously not official releases, but that's well known that they are out there, and with StarWars.com acknowledging the existence of the holiday special and celebrating the animated segment in the way that they have just done, it is worth mentioning all of them. Moving on from StarWars.com to The Star Wars Show, the latest episode of The Star Wars Show that screened a few days back. The main news item that they covered here was a interview with Donald Faison, who is the voice behind Hype Faison in the Star Wars Resistance animated series. They talked to him about his passion for Star Wars and his role in the Resistance animated series.
They talk about how this is one of the rare instances where a character was created with a specific actor in mind. Obviously, Hype Faison, Donald Faison, the name is there, but they really did decide to create a character for him, which is quite neat. Certainly, I guess everyone would dream of having a Star Wars character created for them, but it's really neat when a actor who is a Star Wars fan themselves gets to be a little bit more personally involved with the creation of their character.
Yeah. And Donald Faison's had a little bit of involvement with Star Wars before, working with the guys at Robot Chicken, doing some voice work for them, and he's done some stop motion animation himself with a Star Wars flavour in his early days. So he talks about all of that in a fairly long interview that actually makes up the most of this episode of the Star Wars Show. They did slip in a small clip in the middle of the Star Wars Show of Joel Edgerton, who played Owen Lars in the prequel series, who visited Lucasfilm recently. There wasn't a lot of clarity as to why he might have been visiting Lucasfilm, but I hesitate to speculate. It does leave us wondering whether or not the dream scenario of an Obi-Wan movie that maybe has involvement of Owen Lars in it could perhaps theoretically be in early stages.
The clip was certainly interesting. He just does a bit of a shout out to viewers of the Star Wars Show, but he is in the Lucasfilm headquarters. Is he going to be doing voice work? Is this just a cursory thing? Is there some other random Lucasfilm project that he would be involved in outside of Star Wars?
Yeah, well, you'd figure if he did have a legitimate other reason in there, they're bringing up. They didn't say he happened to be in town for something or other or whatever. They just, here he is. Here he is in the context of Star Wars. What could this mean?
It could just be a tease, or whether they're, I guess, baiting fans that they obviously know are super keen for an Obi-Wan film, and this is a bit of a tease, trying to, you know, seeing how many people will connect the dots, whether this is all a bit of a setup or whether it is actually a little bit of a winking nod to something that is in the works.
Okay, so we won't over speculate beyond that. We're just commenting that it's an interesting little thing to put in there without much additional context. They wrapped up the Star Wars Show news section by talking about the expansion to the Star Wars Jedi Challenges from Lenovo. That's the virtual reality system that includes the lightsaber handheld devices and, well, augmented reality, I should say. This most recent expansion lets you join the dark side so you can fight as Kylo Ren against Rey and Yoda and more. And they also talked about a space battles addition to that.
And they also added ability for two-player modes. So they showed footage of two people battling against each other. So that definitely looks like a fun addition to that play system.
So Star Wars Jedi Challenges was available. It was for sale in New Zealand. I haven't seen it in the stores like Harvey Norman that did previously stock it in quite some time. I mean, it did show up a couple of years ago at the Armageddon Expo conventions as well, as they're trying to promote it. Not sure how widely picked up it has been in New Zealand, but if you've got access to that, it's certainly worth checking out these most recent updates. Other gaming news beyond that Jedi Challenges. We got up early on, was it Thursday, for the most recent Star Wars The Old Republic live stream event, which screened locally at about 6 a.m. They were mainly talking about the guild updates that are coming in 5.10, which is due out in early December. Still not a solid date on that. They'll be refining that as they get some of the bugs ironed out on the public test server, for instance. But we got a few more additional details, and we always enjoy just keeping up to date with news and developments in that game because we've been playing it since the beginning, as we've mentioned before. There's a new companion coming in 5.10. Paxton Rell is an armor-wearing Twi'lek male character. Most of the rest of the live stream focused on updates to the guild system, guild leveling. The guilds will now have a level applied to them, and you can increment your level, and that gives information to people looking at joining your guild about how long you've been playing or how intensely your guild has been playing. And so there is going to be guild XP that is associated with the guild leveling that is earned via completing conquests in the game, so specific tasks associated with the conquest system. And the accrual of guild XP via conquests and guild levels lets you have additional guild benefits. At this point in time, the main guild benefit, other than having other people to play with, is that you get bonuses to your accrual of XP for your individual characters if you belong to a guild. They're going to expand that system, and the perks are going to be able to be selected by the guild depending on the types of things that your guild actually participates in on an ongoing basis. And the guild ships, which are a useful headquarters for your guild and can be used as part of the conquest system by traveling to planets that are associated with the conquest, the price on those has been dropped again. Historically, they were 50 million, so it required a number of people saving up funds and combining those to get those for a guild. But because they're acknowledging that there are a lot of smaller guilds that are smaller in terms of the number of characters, but also the number of people involved in those, they've dropped the price of guild ships all the way down to 8 million. There's some updates to the Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes game as well, weren't there, in the past week?
After the big release of Jedi Knight Revan to the game, they have now given us some of the more dark-sided characters from Knights of the Old Republic. The two latest releases include Bastila Shan in a fallen version where she is dark side. Her abilities are a dark side version of the Jedi version of Bastila. And Candorous Ordo, who was a Mandalorian in the Old Republic era and eventually became known as Mandalore the Preserver of the Mandalorian clan Ordo. And so it's really neat to see these characters being added to a modern game. KOTOR is celebrating its 15th anniversary this year. It was originally released in July 2003 for Xbox and then was released on Windows in November 19th, 2003. So we're coming up, we're a few days away from the 15th anniversary of the PC version of Knights of the Old Republic.
So the Bastila and the Candorous that have been added into the game, they are the Knights of the Old Republic versions that you're familiar with, is that right?
Yes. Yes, there is a storyline that involves Bastila Shan falling to the dark side. And so we now have two versions of Bastila in Galaxy of Heroes, her Jedi version and her dark side fallen version, which is really quite interesting to see. There are a lot of classic Star Wars characters in Galaxy of Heroes where there is only one version of them. Even though they are very significant characters in the game, there is only one version of Anakin Skywalker, for instance. There is only two versions of Obi-Wan Kenobi. He exists in his General Kenobi from the Clone Wars and as Old Ben from the A New Hope era. So it's really neat to see that this is a modern game that has added a lot of new content in this past year from the Old Republic era, specifically KOTOR, even though this game is 15 years old. And these additions have all been done well after the Disney takeover. So you have to assume that someone in the head office is approving the additions of these characters to this new game that's done completely under the Disney license. The Disney branding is on the login screen. So it's really interesting to see that there is still a acceptance of these characters. They certainly are very popular with fans of the game, and one has to wonder whether we will ever see any new Disney era content start to appear in the Old Republic era. It's obviously a time period that has been well removed from the new Disney era, and so nothing has conflicted or overridden those stories. They kind of exist in a little bit of a bubble. We're seeing new TV series, and the expansions at the Disney parks are all very centered in the time period between the Galactic Empire and the new trilogy with the First Order and Kylo Ren, but we haven't seen them really delve into any of the Old Republic era that's so far removed.
But they're obviously keeping it alive and keeping fans interested, and even though it's coming up on 15 years for Knights of the Old Republic, there's still a lot of passion for it, there's still a lot of interest in for it, and you can still play it, can't you?
Yes, even though it's a 15-year-old game, you can still play it. Through systems like Steam, you can still buy it as a game, and they even re-released it for modern mobile devices through the iOS iTunes App Store and the Android Google Play Store. You can buy it for around $15. The graphics are obviously from 15 years ago, but they still translate fairly well on a modern screen. The play style works very easily with a touch screen, being able to control your characters around, choosing story options as you choose your path through the events, and even the action, the attack sequences, are very easily done on a mobile device. Personally, I played the game when it first released and played it through multiple times to get all the different options and endings, and it is just a very good game, and it's one of those Star Wars stories that still really holds up. And when people talk about the expanded universe, the Darth Revan story is one that still really stands up well in this modern era. A lot of people love the character of Thrawn, but not as many people are as familiar with the whole story of the novels where that character originated from. A lot of people are very familiar with Revan and the events of KOTOR. Certainly in the modern era, video games are
a way of telling stories.
Yeah, they're much more common. 15 years ago, video games were very much a gamer-only realm, and nowadays everyone has games on their phones, their tablets. Consoles are very, very popular. It would be neat to see them really embrace that story, whether we might see it re-released with modern graphics. The story stands well even all these years later. It doesn't interfere with the new Disney era of stories. They could reissue it. It could be the basis for a movie or a TV series. It would be really interesting to see if we ever see Darth Revan and the original story, shall we say, re-canonized the way that they did with Thrawn, bringing him into Rebels. Knowing that there are certain Star Wars characters from the old expanded universe era that have really persisted in the hearts of fans.
Yeah, Thrawn set a precedent. An interesting precedent. They didn't bring him in the exact form that he was originally written, but they brought him in very closely, and I think fans were generally happy with the way that was executed. And so, yeah, I think there is absolutely room for other very key stories and story arcs and characters to be brought in at some point. And without a doubt, Knights of the Old Republic and Revan, I think they're acknowledged at the time as being it was successful because it was not just a fun-to-play game, but it was a solidly written story that fit well into the Star Wars universe, and I think that's why that story arc and that character have persisted in terms of being fan favourites.
The original Knights of the Old Republic game, the first version, was made by BioWare, who still exist. They are a very successful game company, and they do still have the Star Wars license. With EA, of course, they make the Old Republic MMO game, and Revan is included quite significantly in that MMO game as well, in multiple different storylines in different ways. Even though the game is actually set a little while after the events of KOTOR, the storyline continues to involve him, knowing how much an important character Revan is in that time period and how beloved that character is.
So just to tie that back, it's interesting that they have bought two characters from Knights of the Old Republic into the Galaxy of Heroes game within 1 week, and on top of all the other characters from that era and from those previous stories.
And even though we've already got quite a core group of KOTOR-era characters in the new Galaxy of Heroes games, fans are still wanting more of them. On the forums, you see people asking, where's Carth Onesi? Where's Darth Malak? Are we going to see a Darth Revan, dark side version of Revan? Because we have the light side version.
Is Darth Malak not in Galaxy of Heroes yet?
No, not yet. Okay. We have Darth Nihilus, and we have Vesis Marr, and we already had HK-47, and they have even added a lot of characters from SWTOR, including Sith Marauder, Sith Assassin, Sith Trooper. They're still adding a lot of this Old Republic era content to it, and people still want more. So I think that's got to be sending signals to Disney that this is content that is making money. Jedi Knight Revan became infamously the most expensive character in Galaxy of Heroes. People paid hundreds and hundreds of dollars to max him out and get him to be the most powerful character in their roster. And we have the hardest content in the game is the Sith Triumvirate raid, where you fight Darth Traya, Darth Sion, and Darth Nihilus. That is currently the highest, hardest content in the game, and that is completely based on the second Knights of the Old Republic game, KOTOR 2. So there's clearly a huge core of Star Wars fans and gamers that really still love this old content.
Yeah, so there's people who are familiar with it that know it, but I think it's also worth noting that they're successful characters, so even if people aren't fully familiar with the story of Darth Revan, there's potential there for new people to understand the story or to be exposed to the story and appreciate it, because it's tested ground. We already know that it has worked. So who knows? Again, we're heading into speculation, but as I say, it certainly is interesting that they've included two characters from Knights of the Old Republic and Galaxy of Heroes in 1 week, and it's not a new thing for Galaxy of Heroes. So keeping fans happy in that way, and perhaps leading up to something else in the future, who knows?
Certainly at the moment, the three main Star Wars games out there for fans to play are Battlefront, Galaxy of Heroes, and the Old Republic MMO. These are the three major games. So it's interesting to see that two of them heavily feature Old Republic content. One is even set fully in the Old Republic. So that does leave the door open to see if we'll get more Old Republic content in other mediums, books, TV series. We do still see the Old Republic characters featured in collectibles. Last year, Gentle Giant did a Darth Revan statue, and Darth Revan was also included in the Black Series 6-inch figure line, and has even been reissued in that line. So there is still a lot of demand from collectors and people playing Galaxy of Heroes, and a lot of these people may not have even played KOTOR. I know a lot of people
just like
the characters and the character of Revan. He's kind of held as a very, very powerful character. Even though people may not have played the game, they're still very aware of his character and his legacy within the greater Star Wars story.
Okay, so a few bits and pieces in gaming news. Let's move on to store reports. Take a look at some of the things that have become available in New Zealand in the past week. We've reported on all of these on the SWNZ website, so just go to swnz.co.nz and click on the store reports category underneath the categories tag, and you can keep up to date with products that have become available locally. A couple of items have come out from New Zealand Mint in the last week or so. The sixth in the series of silver poster coins. These are rectangular coins made from silver that feature the posters from the movies. We're up to the sixth one, Revenge of the Sith poster, and these are going to continue to include all of the sequel trilogies ultimately, priced at $129 each. And a new sub-series in the Silver Coin Notes from New Zealand Mint, a series that is going to be featuring the Force Awakens characters, has been kicked off, starting with Rey, and that first product in that collection, that sub-collection, comes with a collector's album, so you can collect the rest of the series as they are released over the next little while. There's been a sale of Star Wars homewares at Mighty Ape, and that's going on until later in December. What are some of the items that you saw in that?
The sale includes things like a BB-8 cookie jar, lots of mugs and glasses, a lot of Rogue One items. There is some wall art, posters, some keychains, Star Wars family figure stickers for your car, fridge magnets. So it's definitely worth checking out to add a little bit of Star Wars to your home.
Star Wars Heavyanas have shown up at the warehouse. These showed up as a little blip on their website, then disappeared quickly, but they seem to have been restocked and included as a solid item now. Two different styles, Darth Vader and R2-D2, available at $29 per pair. You can get them on the website as well as checking out your local stores.
A lot of Star Wars footwear tends to be aimed at children and children's sizes. These are specifically adult sizes from women's through to men's in European sizes. So Google around to check out your European size if they don't have the New Zealand size marked in stores.
Well, on the website they're listed in European sizes, so it's worth keeping that in mind. They are strangely listed under the children's section on the website, but the sizes listed as being available are the European sizes 35 to 44, which I think spans the range of the New Zealand sizings that we're familiar with, of about size 3 to size 10. So older kids through to adults should be available. And wrapping up the store reports, EB Games have in stock the Star Wars, the Christmas versions of the Star Wars pop vinyl figures. You can get C-3PO, R2-D2, Chewbacca, Yoda or Darth Vader, all decked out with a special Christmas holiday theme for $24 each. They're available from the EB Games website and we've got links to all of those on the SWNZ News website.
These are quite a cute little collectible. Some of them have Santa hats on or Christmas lights. It's fun to see some of these holiday-themed Star Wars collectibles. They'll make a fun little decoration for your home at Christmas.
That's about it for this week. So I guess we are done doing talking. Thank you for listening in. Stay tuned to our website, swnz.co.nz, for Star Wars news for New Zealanders and for our next weekly podcast episode. Follow our Facebook page and social media and chat with other fans in the Star Wars New Zealand Facebook group and website forums. Thank you for listening.
May the Force be with you.